Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. United Nations concern for the explosive situation that exists in the Middle East has led to consideration of plans that would seal the borders between Israel and her Arab nations. The border between Israel and the Arab states is one of the most jagged and difficult to defend. Israel, incidentally, was the first new nation to be created under the sponsorship of the United Nations. Well, Israel's return to her land is considered one of the greatest fulfillment of end-time prophecies in the Bible. On the day Israel was proclaimed a nation, David Ben-Gurion, who was then prime minister, read from Amos chapter 9, verses 14 through 15. This is the prophecy from which we would quote. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land. They shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Well, following the reading of this scripture, Ben-Gurion proclaimed Israel to be an independent state in what he referred to as one of the greatest miracles of modern times. Well, immediately, Israel's Arab neighbors declared war. This will be a war of extermination, stated Abdurrahim Azam Pasha, then Secretary General of the Arab Police. We'll drive them into the sea, shouted Arab leaders. But the unexpected happened. The 650,000 Israelis, surrounded by 25 million Arabs, won the war. At least Israel took two-thirds more land than the Arabs took from her. And the war has really never ceased. But that is why the United Nations is disturbed over the tumultuous conditions that exist to this present moment in the Middle East. Well, with Israel back in her land, friends, the stage is set for the coming of Jesus. As the psalmist declared, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall return in his glory. It is reported that Dr. Lewis Sperry Schaefer once commented on the tremendous significance of Israel's revival as a nation, saying that if Moody Torrey Schofield and some of the great prophetic scholars of the past were to suddenly come alive today, they would not sleep a wink all night for fear the Lord would come before morning. It must be remembered that Jesus said concerning the parable of the fig tree, "This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." How soon then our Lord's coming could be. A Harvard professor writing in the publication Land Reborn makes reference to Israel and the end of history. Well, this is indeed interesting to see this nation tied in with the consummation of this age. Dr. Roy Lahren, speaking at the Congress on Prophecy at Calvary Baptist Church in New York, has declared, "As long as Israel exists, there cannot be an end of history. Israel is God's promise of a continuing history, as the rainbow is God's promise of a continuing earth." Dr. Lahren refers to promises God made to Israel in what he calls prophecy's great expectations. First of all, God's covenant declaring that Israel would be a nation forever. The Jew has never lost his identity. Wherever he goes, he is still a Jew. We're reminded of Frederick the Great, who once asked for proof of the infallibility and inspiration of the Bible. General Zeton replied, "The Jew, sir." In Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 34 through 35, we read where God has pledged Israel's identity forever, declaring the universe would cease to exist before he would fail to keep his promise to Israel. Here's what we read. "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Yes, my friends, God has determined that Israel be established a nation forever. In the second place, God has determined that the land of Palestine be Israel's forever. Remember, to Abraham God had said, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. Did you hear it? Now here's one of the most significant land grants of all time. It guarantees Israel's property from which she can never be permanently dispossessed. The title deed to this land was granted by Jehovah. It is irrevocable. The land is to be Israel's forever. Then thirdly, God has promised Israel would have a king who would sit on David's throne forever. Remember when Jesus was born, the angel Gabriel told Mary, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Hallelujah. And so there you have it, friends, God's promise to Israel that she would be a nation forever, have a land forever, and occupy a throne forever in the person of Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, now, of course, it must be recognized that Israel has returned in unbelief. She has not recognized Christ as Messiah. There are, however, those who pray daily, saying, I believe with a firm faith in the coming of the Messiah, and although he tarry, yet will I wait for him to come. And so with Israel established in her land, it may not be too long before Zechariah's prophecy will be fulfilled when it is stated, The Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem. And we read how a great earthquake shall cleave the mount. Now here's another prophecy that awaits fulfillment, the coming of Christ with his saints. And when Christ returns back to this earth, he will set foot upon the Mount of Olives, and it will be rocked by a great earthquake. Would you like to hear a report of the seismologist of Stanford University concerning the possibility of earthquakes in the Middle East? Well, then listen to this. He writes, The Holy Land can expect to suffer from earthquakes, for the area around Jerusalem is a region of potential earthquake danger. In fact, he notes, a fault line along which earth slippage may occur passes directly under the Mount of Olives. So here you have a seismologist telling us that directly beneath the Mount of Olives is a fault line which could break at any moment in an earthquake that would rent the mount. And so when Jesus comes back to earth with his saints and his foot touches the Mount of Olives, the area will be rocked by a great earthquake, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north, half to the south. One more comment yet concerning the regathering of Israel to her land. We're reminded in Isaiah concerning the promise which God made, saying, Ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. Then we read, It shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. Did you hear it? The Bible would remind us, friends, that there's coming a day when the trumpet shall sound, when our Lord shall descend, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Well, could it be that Israel's restoration to our land is the great clue that the appearing of our Lord is at hand when the saints shall be raptured? Indeed, with expectancy and anticipation, we await the blowing of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel. For remember, before Christ can come with his saints, he must first come for his saints. Well, the important question we would leave with you today is, are you ready? If Jesus were to come back today, do you know that you're saved? Have you ever prayed asking Christ to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart and life? And if you have made this decision, are you living in momentary expectation for his coming? Are you living for Christ? Do you love the thought of his soon appearing? Beloved, Israel's reestablishment in her land is a sign that Christ is soon to come for his saints. I remember hearing Victor Bugsbazen of one of our Jewish missionary organizations relating taking the plane from New York to Tel Aviv. He was greeted there by the customary greeting Shalom, meaning peace. But later the greeting was changed. As he got off the plane, the greeting given the passengers was, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." When he first heard this warm greeting, he wondered concerning its significance, and then he remembered how our Lord once swept over the city of Jerusalem upon their rejection of him as their Messiah, saying, "Ye shall not see me, until ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Well, there are multitudinous signs that our Lord's return hastens. Israel revival as a nation is just one of them. How we should be looking for his coming, and how necessary it is to be ready. The secret is to receive Christ as personal Savior, and then live for him with all of your heart, and love the thought of his appearing. For he hath said, "Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.